Gentlemen.
Oh.
What's going on?
Start your engines.
Tell me about it. There's plenty of that this weekend, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was.
I'm overloaded.
It's actually too much.
It was too much. I couldn't catch all of it, unfortunately. No. Yeah. It was a bit excessive.
Work commitments got you.
They did, unfortunately.
I really liked the lead up, especially for F1. And when you're watching GP, and especially the ending of that race, I really wanted to stick around and watch it, but you have to flick it over.
Correct.
But F1 was a great race as well, so.
Yeah, it was bloody good. I had two screens going.
Did you? Yeah. Three, you mean? And the third one going? Bit of red tube?
That e-porn, bro. It's my secret.
We'll segue into our sponsor, of course, MJ Trading Cards. MJ Trading Cards.
Off to a flyer.
Yeah, MJ Trading Cards. Been part of Motorsport Republica for months and months and months now, so we appreciate their support. Guys, jump online. Biggest and best sport card breakers in Australia. We only have the best here at Motorsport Republica.
Only the best.
Only the best, okay? So we have an offer for you guys today, as always, MSR15 for 15% off your first order. Get involved, guys. 10 to 15 breaks a day they
do. It's insane, isn't it?
So Mitchy, good friend of the pod, support him like you guys support us.
Is he doing F1 cards, Tom?
It's actually in the works. In the works. We might have something to share over the next, hopefully, few weeks.
Yeah, sick. Loving the boys down there.
Blah, beautiful. And everyone, jump onto our Patreon. We've got a new ep coming out next week. It is Make Honda Great Again. And I assume you guys could guess what would be dressing up
as.
Okay.
But we're going to build a wall. We're going to build a wall. Okay.
We're going to build a Honda. That's what we're going to do. We're making a plan to bring Honda back.
10-point plan.
We're making a 10-point plan. We're gonna ask you guys questions and how we're gonna do it. We're gonna figure this out,
Mr. Nagasaki. We're coming,
Mr. Yakamoto Honda. We're coming. We're coming with bombs.
Literally, we are.
We're coming with idea bombs. We're coming with some bomb ideas.
Yeah,
Getty
Hiroshima.
Someone had to say it.
Yeah, true.
So,
Curtis, you're going to hell.
Jump onto our Patreon. It will be out mid to late next week once it all gets edited and up.
Yep. Really looking forward to this one.
It's going to be a laugh. You're all going to love it. It's going to be hilarious. And yeah, you're going to dive into our thoughts on how we're going to make Honda great again. Mm. And we'll look maybe back into the history of Honda and their glory years as well, you know.
Yeah, plenty of them.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. Guys, as well, you know, don't be shy. Get around us, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify. Like, comment, subscribe. Any little bit of love helps.
Yeah, subscribe to YouTube will be a massive help to us, guys. Keep the, keep all the content coming. So
100%. I think we're uploading a little bit more now. We've gone back to those shorter.
Yeah, we've done a few more shorts.
Which is good. Yep. So plenty of content, guys, away from the Instagram. So be sure to get on it. Episode 75, getting close to 100.
75th anniversary for MotoGP. It's got to be an omen, doesn't it?
Yeah. Who would have thought, huh?
Yeah, not me.
75 episodes later, we've still got listeners and viewers.
I know, and it keeps growing.
Well, I wanted to talk about that today, guys, just quickly. Like, the community we're growing here is amazing, and we really appreciate all the support we're getting.
Yeah, it's
all
been
the messages, all like... It's just the little things. Like, we love when there's a big incident happened in either the F1 or the MotoGP, and like, we get messages. We go, what did you guys think?
It's
and like,
crazy.
It's crazy to us. We just love the community we've created, and like, it is Republica. Like, we are
a republic.
Yes.
A dictatorship.
Yes, definitely.
But it is cool. It's really cool to see, and I love hearing everyone else's opinions. And I think it's cool that, you know, you're not just listening to some old farts.
Yeah.
Talk the same old dribble. We got some younger guys with a bit more fun and flair about it. So it's good.
So cool.
Only on to bigger and better things, boys.
Oh, yeah. Some big
things
coming.
Some big, big news coming, which is
very
exciting.
Stay tuned.
Iron out some details.
Stay tuned with the eyes looking that way emoji.
I think that's our favorite emoji. That and the fire emoji.
Oh, yeah. Well, that one's been getting a good run lately.
Yeah. True.
Give us some results from MotoGP, Daniel Abrish.
Yeah, no dramas. Let's start with the sprint race, shall we?
Yeah.
Sprint race results. Marc Marquez, Jorge Martin, Pedro Acosta was your top three. Alex Marquez, Miguel Oliveira, Brad Binder, Enea Bastianini, Fabio Quartararo, Francesco Bagnaia, and Marco Bezzecchi was the sprint. main race, Mark Marquez doing the double, treble, I should say, yeah, pole, sprint, and race win.
Dominated.
Jorge Martin, Pedro Acosta.
And the same results from sprint and main race. Actually, very rare, the top three.
Yes, correct, yeah.
As picked by Tom Shavulak, by the
way. Yeah, well done, Tom. You did well this week, actually.
Yeah.
The crystal ball's back.
Yeah, the crystal ball is back. He made sure he let everyone know about it. I've never seen anything like it.
The re-comment.
Yeah, thanks for commenting, and yeah, it was good. Get around me.
Well done, Tom.
Couldn't believe it.
Brad Binder, fourth. Enea Bastianini, fifth. Franco Morbidelli, sixth. Marco Bezzecchi, seventh. Fabio Di Gianantonio, eighth. Alex Rins, ninth, and Aleix Espargaró, 10th.
Yeah, well, two big things coming out of the race, and we were going to talk about them first. First of all, Marquez, 1,000 days without a win, unbelievable.
Yeah.
I was really happy for him. It's been a crazy few years, so that was incredible. And the elephant in the room was his brother and Bagnaia. What do you guys think of the incident, first of all?
Oh, man. I'll start first, and then I'll let Daniel unleash.
I'll be Switzerland on this one.
I think it's a racing incident. I really do. I think if I had to, I was talking to Adrian from Motor Heaven. Shout out to Adrian from Motor Heaven.
Ripper bloke.
Yep, Ripper bloke, about this today. And if I was going to put the blame...
Don't make me jump this table, Jim. I swear to God.
Jimmy, you got my support, bro. It's all right.
I'm actually going to say 55% Alex Marquez, because he just wasn't far enough in front, but it's two guys going for a racing line. The one thing that saves Alex, I guess, is he's looking through the corner, so he's not looking at what's coming on his left. But the thing is Pecco's pretty far in front, but Alex is still, if you're riding on a track or if you know how to ride, you're looking way through that corner,
of course.
So that's the one thing
you're always looking at, the apex of the next corner.
It's
gonna be hard to see anything on the left hand.
So if it's the right call to make it a racing incident. And it was funny, did you see Crafer when he was talking about it? He's like, I don't know whose fault it is. I'm lucky I'm not making a judgment on it. It's only next year I am. but yeah, I don't know. Okay, Cody, can you just turn my headphone levels up just a tiny bit, please?
Not mine though, Cody. Keep mine the same. I'll start wigging out otherwise.
yeah, that's better. Oh, so much better. Thank you.
He's locked in.
Placebo.
Daniel, what was your vision on the incident?
Look, it is a racing incident, most definitely. But in saying that, you know someone's right behind you. You're getting the messages on your dash. You're getting it on your pit board. You know you've run wide. Mm. You know he's up your ass. You can definitely hear it. And he was way too far in front. He's the bike length. Tough one to call.
Mm.
Marquez sort of saved himself going into that corner. And we had seen so many moves made throughout the weekend around that outside in that corner. Could Pecco have yielded? Probably. As a racer, do you want to yield? No.
As a champion as well.
100%.
Yeah.
You know, partial Alex to blame? I would say so.
It's just a racing incident. It just magnifies it because it's a Marquez, which is what I love.
That's what made it so much bigger, right?
Yeah.
Have you guys watched the slow motion of it though?
I have. And I think it is definitely a racing incident, because if the roles were reversed, would have Pecco done the same thing? I don't think he would have yielded like Alex maybe should have yielded. Do I think Alex saw him on the outside? I don't think Alex did see him on the outside. Has Pecco made a couple of these moves that have been right on the edge in the last 12 months? Maybe. But Bastianini in the sprint race did the exact same thing. Went around both of them. I think that might have been, I don't know if he might have seen that pass, but that was an incredible pass for Bastianini.
Yeah.
That was probably going through his mind as well. Definitely a racing incident, 50-50. Really hard to give.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's a tough one. But like I said, I think the big factors are you'll definitely hear the person behind you and you know you've made a mistake the corner before when someone's up your ass.
Well, I think it's better asking a person who's like a rider that question. Like,
yeah, 100%.
And like, no, but you've been on a track before. I mean, I haven't, but you know you're familiar with your surroundings, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
So like in that situation, would he have known he's there? Probably.
100%. So,
yeah.
And look, they got pretty good vision out of those lids that they're wearing too. So even if you sort of half glance as you're coming around, you still do see out of your peripherals, even though you are focused on. But it was pretty gnarly though. If you've seen the slow motion, he was lucky his helmet didn't get stuck in the wheel.
Yeah. And he was stuck under two bikes and he was super lucky to get out of that, you know, with no real injury.
Yeah, I saw the interview after. He said he was pretty sore. So I guess he was going to be pretty sore today, but... Man, there's a couple of big incidents in that race. And the same with the Moto2. There's some big highlights.
Well, the track was just... It's been resurfaced, had rain,
yeah,
and it was just filthy. Like, if you watched Moto 3, and we'll get into that, it was, they were on ice, some of them.
Yeah. But I reckon the Moto 2 ones were just stupid moves.
Yeah.
Alvarez in Moto 2 was a stupid move as well, and I don't know how he hasn't got a broken arm. That was a big... Roberts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that incident was crazy.
Yep.
1,000,000% racing incident, you know. Do I shift the blame a little bit to Alex? Yeah, I would. And I think a few of the riders have come out and said, you know when someone's there.
Mm.
You hear them, you know. But, again, it is what it is.
That's racing.
Yeah. It is racing.
That's racing.
And hopefully hopefully Pecco back-to-back isn't going into Misano injured.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a race this weekend. Yeah. And just adds that little bit more tension with the Marquez.
Oh, yeah.
Pecco.
It's just anyone. That could have been anyone. It was fucking Alex Marquez on the Christina Ducati.
And then Mark wins the race, and Jorge Martin finished second, 23-point lead in the championship.
It's good for the championship.
It's great for the championship.
But you know what's going to happen. I'm calling it now. Yeah. I never get these things wrong. I Maverick Vinales, Miguel Oliveira, proven track record. Jorge Martin's going to crash in one of these two San Marinos and just give all the points back.
Yeah,
it's a guarantee.
Yeah, it's 100%.
Can we just jump on Vinales just for like a second? I didn't want to talk about him because
you had him notoriously in your top five.
Fraud watch.
And you got crucified.
He
for
was
it.
50 seconds behind halfway through the race and he pitted, he retired.
So,
but I would too. Why wouldn't you? What
he
an
finished
idiot.
36 seconds behind at the sprint.
So it was the toughest starting grid, basically almost in the history of MotoGP, because like Pecco was on a dirty side, couldn't get it gripped up. He can't start on the perfect conditions, let alone if he's flat tracking on a MotoGP bike.
He's the definition of everything has to be perfect for him to go well on the weekend.
And then 100%. Some.
Where someone like a Marquez or a Martin, they can ride around an issue.
Yeah,
Bagnaia as well. They can ride around issues. And you saw that. But yeah. And how's Taki Nakagami finishing 12th? I had him in the top 10. Everyone laughed at me last week. He did well.
Yeah.
A few crashes. But
11th. 11th. In the main race.
11th, yeah.
So
I actually had him in my notes. Shout out to fucking Taka Nakagami.
Because you looked at me very funny last week and I said, it's the biggest Japanese thing. He's going to get kicked out and he'll have a really good race.
That's basically a win for him, isn't it?
Well, three Hondas in the top 50, in the points, wasn't there?
Well, going back to, I wrote this down as well, going back to Maverick Vinales, Matthew Burt, the commentator, goes snail's pace for Maverick Vinales.
Bro, if he stayed out,
he would have got
he would have left. Like, when's
on
the last
a factory
time
bike.
When's the last
that's
time that's
embarrassing.
Happened? Yeah. And Oliveira, actually, on the similar machinery, had not a bad weekend except crashing the main race. But
well, you got to finish Miguel Oliveira. Maybe he wanted to get back to the pits nice and early. You know what I'm saying?
Finish in a different way.
Yeah, he's the real
go
king.
Go down on something, set the tarmac, you know what I'm saying?
Crazy track conditions, but I mean, Pecco spinning it up.
I loved
races.
It though. How cool was it?
Like, it's different.
It was just such a different weekend, and I really enjoyed that. And like, probably because Pecco struggled is probably why it was. It's so interesting for the championship as well.
100%. And as James said, there's going to be so many ebbs and flows in this championship.
Yeah.
Like it's. Mm. I don't think it's over. I think it'll go down to the end again.
People commenting like, you know, this is it. Jorge Martin's going to win. I'm like, no way.
Bro, we had Pecco was dominating two rounds ago.
You'll see Tardozzi in 2 rounds' time deflating his tires or something like that.
Right. He'll flick the switch. But yeah, it was a really interesting weekend all round.
It was. It was crazy to see these guys not being able to hook it up off the line. If anyone gets a chance, jump on Alaysia's Instagram too.
Oh yeah.
There's footage from behind the catch fence on pit wall of his start in slow motion.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable to see how this bike twists and turns and doesn't grip up. And that was... His wasn't as bad in the scheme of things in the sprint race compared to Pecco's one.
Yeah, Vinales is the worst.
Bro. But they all copped it.
Morbidelli wasn't too bad, though. He got his hooked up. I was surprised.
His practice start, he went like 90 degrees right. I've never seen anything like it.
His practice start was insane.
It was like the bike went like
was,
that.
The track was filthy.
DGR had a pretty poor practice start as well. Mm. I think a few of them copped it.
So what they said was it was sand on the track.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on Saturday night, I believe, they came and cleaned the whole track. They came in, brought the street sweepers. But when it was raining, it rained sand. Because the sand went up in the air because it's close to the desert.
Yep.
It came down, rained sand all over the track. And then obviously that inside line where where Bagnaia was. On the third, it just doesn't get cleaned up because the racing line's on the outside.
That's right.
But that's luck of the draw. And go back to it. It's racing. That's what it is. Like
racing.
You get,
yeah.
I look back at 2004 Qatar Grand Prix when Rossi's mechanics remember they
swept
and they did the burnouts on the pit grid and they gave him, sent him to the back of the grid. That's what they needed to do for Bagnaia.
Well, they were yelling at him to take a practice start from his spot. And
yeah, crazy.
Yeah, it just wasn't his weekend. Probably one of his worst weekends.
Shout out for Danby for telling me that fact. He'll get cranky otherwise because he did tell me that today. I'll get him on the he'll get me on the blower tomorrow and complain about it. So yeah, I gotta get in early.
Should we do one half of our MJ trading cards performance of the week?
No, do them both at the same time, Jimmy. Right. I can't split them. I can't split them.
All right.
I can't split them. Go for it.
You want to do it now?
Yeah, do it now.
All right. First, it has to be Marc Marquez and the pure domination and Charles Leclerc for just how he managed tires.
Yeah, we'll talk about Charles soon, but what he did in that race in Monza was incredible. Yeah,
we'll talk about it in the F1 stage. It's all good.
And Marc Marquez, the Spanish flair.
Five degrees more lean angle.
Yeah, 4 to 5. That's insane, though.
And they couldn't figure that out,
He was gaining 0.4 seconds on that one corner, the corner after the reverse corkscrew, 0.4 seconds on Martin.
Yeah, he was blistering through there.
Like, just, isn't that corner named after him as well?
Yeah.
Just crazy. That was cool. Good to see.
Yeah, it was good to see.
Good for the sport.
Yeah. He had a lot of fans there, like all those grandstands. Oh, you could hear the over the racing cheering for him. It was insane.
And they didn't have a very good turnout. It was only 100,000 for the whole weekend, which is quite low, but you could hear him on the...
That
grandstand is really cool.
But talk about... It is Marc Marquez style, but even when in his prime, he wouldn't even dominate a weekend like that. But this weekend...
No.
Just worked for him.
He was never out the front that many second leads.
Do you think the track conditions evened up the playing field? And that's why you saw maybe your Oliveiras, your Marquez come through, Brad Binder, Marquez had a good weekend.
Yep, I agree.
I think so. Absolutely it did.
Because Marquez is clearly the best person to ride around. But it was funny. Jorge Martin had a good weekend.
Surprise results in all three classes, you could say.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So yeah, it does. Yeah, I mean, it's like when the rain comes out, like you see different riders with different skills. Petrucci, aka Rainmaster.
Will this change Marquez's mentality for the rest of the year? Do you think anything's going to change, or you still think it's going to be GP24 show?
I still think it's going to be GP24 show. You could see it. You could see the differences.
Yeah.
You know, even when they weren't directly passing at 23, but the acceleration is insane. And how close they would get on that back straight is unbelievable. And how much more stable it looked under braking.
Especially the KDMs following the Ducatis on that back straight. You just saw them flat. And the Ducatis on a slow bike. Either.
Demoralizing.
Yeah. I know. Same with the Yamaha when Quattararo.
That was rough. He actually had a really good sprint.
He had a great sprint race.
Yeah,
man.
He did. And he had a pretty good weekend besides the crash on Sunday.
Made some good moves.
Mm. Yeah. I was happy for him.
But yeah, I don't think his mentality changes. I think it's always been the same. Mm. I think he's finally worked out how to make that bike work for him, as we sort of touched on a couple of episodes ago. So yeah, I think maybe it's all just starting to fall into place.
I reckon the conditions played into his favor as well. Where 100%, I'm with you. I still think it's going to be a GP24 show. I think it was just the conditions. And it's the right track for him as well.
Yeah, he loves that track.
Yeah.
You know, he's always been strong there, even when the Honda was a bucket of bolts.
Yeah.
He always performed. So
I love that track. I'm happy it's back.
Same. It's a great track. Mm. I'd love to go and watch some racing there, to be honest.
It seems a strange area. It's like in the middle of nowhere to a certain extent, but about 3 hours from Catalunya, they said.
Bruno's back as well, speaking of tracks.
Bro, how good is that?
So what's getting kicked off? Are they having an extra round? It's
probably Kazakhstan.
I was going to say the Kazakhstan one.
Just seems very late in the year to decide all this stuff. They decided in like August that the first race is going to be Thailand. Like, just you got to scramble to get tickets.
Carlo Espilazela, whatever his name is, would have closed his eyes, spun around three times, thrown a dart at the wall and gone, we'll just go there.
Yeah, goodness gracious. And they're talking India, the second race of the year now. It was going to be Lombok, but they're talking India. So,
yeah, right.
So, I mean,
start.
I get it with the Ramadan. You have to have it later in the year. And they can't race in Europe because it's too cold. So they have to find these alternatives, don't they?
No, they can figure it out.
I'm surprised there's not more like races in the Middle East.
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
They probably will. I think eventually.
Bahrain would be all right with bikes, I reckon. Very bit stop and starty, but that could be interesting. They've got a few different track layouts as well.
Oh yeah, that would work.
It could work.
That would work.
I think it'd be a lot more runoff stuff. I'm not too familiar with those tracks, to be honest. So I don't know what their runoffs and all that kind of stuff are like.
Ask Grosjean that.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Soon as I think if there's big money coming into play from Liberty Media, then I reckon that's the
case. I think we'll see a lot of tracks changing.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of those, you know, Mohamed Al Faik guys in friends with the guys from F1s, and then obviously there'll be some talk with the guys from Liberty, and yeah, there could be some opportunity there. But how many more races do you need? I mean, we're pretty stocked, aren't we?
Well, they try and do what 22 or 24, but they're going to, you know, bring out 19 or 20 because someone gets cancelled.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm much more excited to go to another Middle Eastern country than like Kazakhstan, India, or even what's the other one they're thinking of? The Hungary track, or there's
Hungary
few,
would be right.
And there's Kimi Ring, isn't there?
Kimi Ring,
Finland. They still haven't gone there. No, it's been on like four different MotoGP PlayStation games.
I was going to say it's actually not a bad track, but I've ridden it on the game. Yeah, it actually seems alright.
Yeah. That's funny.
They just can't go there. It's funny. Other news as well, KTM financial crisis. I don't know if you guys are all over this, but lost or down $2 billion.
Jesus.
The Pierre Mobility Group.
You know why? Paying for Jack's fairings.
Hey, Cody, can you Google that and see what the actual thing is before I start butchering this? But all I know is they're down $2 billion in their stock. Whatever it is. I don't know. I don't follow any of that. But
not making any sales on the gases? Or?
Nah, I guess not. And I think that's why they're bringing everything back to KTM. So GasGas and Husky are pulling out of like a lot of their racing.
Correct,
it's going to be the KTMs.
Yeah.
That's I don't know what makes a difference. But have you heard of this, Curdy? How am I the only one over this?
Daily Mail.
Yeah. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, they're saying about 2.5 billion euro.
Oh, Jesus.
So double that.
So you're looking at, it's less than double. So you're looking at about maybe 4.5, 4.7.
Round it up. So obviously they've done that. That's their loss for last year, I'd be assuming. So
cuts in investments in motorcycle competitions and the possible elimination of the GasGas brand from its portfolio, as well as the hypothetical discontinuation of Husqvarna brand.
Wait, as in full disco, no more Husqvarna ever?
Discontinuation.
Yeah, so it's really strange.
Why would you get rid of Husqvarna for?
Well, I think they're talking about the prices of their bikes. So their bikes to buy, just say, enduro bike. A Husky's over 20 grand.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
A 450 XC.
Who the fuck is going to pay that unless you're like some super rich dog?
What'd you pay for your 300 two-stroke?
13 grand. Brand new.
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
That's reasonable, for sure.
Yeah. But not 20 grand. You can buy a fucking car for that. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Well, not only that. I mean, I haven't followed him for a while, but like, is that coming with a bash plate, handguards? Like protective stuff, we got to put all that on.
You're still got to put everything
on. So by the time you put, as we all know, like you're putting on some little bling accessories and maybe a pipe and that, you're at what, 24, 25 grand? Easy. Plus a rec reg kit?
Forget about it. Far out.
Because would they come out of the showroom rec reg?
Yeah, no, the enduro models will.
Okay, they do.
Yeah, they're ready to go. But then if you want to do like suspension, that's another grand. That's what you have to do.
You got to.
It's the biggest thing you do. So a bike could easily end up owing you 30 grand. If you're racing it, it'll owe you over 30 grand.
It's not a weekend fun activity anymore. It's like you got
to. That has to be an issue.
Well, we talked about that. I don't remember who, but we talked about two stroke versus four stroke. You could buy a two stroke bike heaps cheaper, easy to fix, you know, that sort of thing. And now these bikes have just got out of control price.
Yeah. So it must be. They're obviously not selling them because I know showrooms are still full of KTMs.
Yeah.
Well, I think I was telling you that I went past a motorcycle dealer that does Husqvarna and they're running little finance, like 1.99% finance or something on them, and you were freaking out going, Husqvarna's never done anything like that.
KTM, Husky, all those guys never do it.
Yeah.
And it used to be Yamaha. We've seen the
KTM's doing it when we were at Epping.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, true. That's right. So anyway, it's interesting. But yeah, I think you're right for Jack Miller's fairings.
That's bonkers, man. I did not even know that at all.
They've signed a lot of riders next year as well. They'll be paying some big salaries.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens in Moto3 and Moto2 with like CF Moto, GasGas and all that. What do you got, Curdy?
Oh, I'm just having a look at it at the moment. This can be caused due to like high interest rates in the United States, sharp drop in sales in European markets. They're looking to reorientate their strategy towards the Asian market, like CF Moto, for instance, going strong there at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Let's have a see.
They might sell Husqvarna. That could be on the cards. They sell it to another brand.
It's hypothetical, but it could. KTM plans to drastically reduce its presence as far as competition goes because they want to just keep to their main sponsor, which is Red Bull.
Yeah, because I think Red Bull pays for a lot of their racing.
Right.
That's what keeps them going.
Gotcha.
Because they sponsor anything that's KTM factory.
Is Red Bull backed.
Whether that be, you know, Giro racing.
It's all coming out of Austria, isn't it?
Yeah,
all same country. GP.
Yeah, exactly. Which is smart. But yeah, there you go.
There you go.
So maybe they won't have some new swing arms or something next year, the KTMs. And me and Bastianini insane. Should have signed it for Aprilia.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I still spew on that early sign to KTM. He should have waited.
I know.
Yeah, really stuck it to Ducati.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, but what do you do? You know,
you want to secure your future.
Yeah, that's all right. You didn't know what was happening.
That's 100% right. You know, who knows? Bez could come from the clouds.
I don't know. What do you think Bez is going to do next year, Daniel?
It's hard to tell. Honestly, I've started to reconsider my thoughts on that Aprilia because it's really gone backwards.
You reckon it's just Alesha's? Do you reckon Alesha's just... I still feel like he's putting the effort. I think it's just Maverick Vinales. Oh, seems man. Like he's checked
but
out.
We've seen him do that at Suzuki. Mm. We've seen him do it at Yamaha. And now he's doing it here. Like,
yeah.
He's
a liability.
Oh, mate.
Fucking liability.
But then he comes down and wins a race and everyone's like, oh, he's back, baby.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I fall into that trap big time. But
did you see it? They had like a full fan base grandstand and people on the drums in Aragon. What? Like, I don't know what he's paying people off, I'm telling you.
I reckon the Aprilias will go a lot better this weekend.
In Misano. Yeah, it should suit him.
High grip track.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's still Ducati domination in this track.
Oh, yeah. It's always going to be.
Will I slip Vinales into my top five? That'll be the big question.
I would rather have Aleix Espargaró.
I reckon Oliveira. I might sneak in this week.
No, I'm off him.
Oh, finally. Thank you, Daniel.
Him, yeah.
Come on.
I'm off a few of my favourites, actually, especially one in Moto2.
Well, how did you not put Marquez in the top five?
Nah, I just thought he was going to have... I was wishful thinking.
Yeah,
thought he was going to throw it down the road.
Oh goodness!
I was almost going to do that with Bagnaia in my top five.
You know what? I thought about having both of them out.
Yeah,
I thought they would take each other out.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
Well, they nearly did. It was just the other.
Yeah, it was just the wrong brother, wrong Marquez.
Mm.
But I think next week's or next round will be a very interesting result.
Yeah, I'm super. Well, Martin did the double last year, so he's got form with that track.
I think remember you had walking wounded Bezzecchi and Pecco.
Pecco from Catalunya's crash.
Massive crash.
True.
It'll be back to GP24 spec anyway. I think it's either Bagnaia or Martin that's going to win.
Don't discount Morbidelli next round.
Don't discount the Aprilias, I reckon. Big comeback.
Nah, you know what? It's all I'm choosing is Martin or Morbidelli. Martin or Bagnaia. They're the only ones that can do it. I still think Aragon was...
An outlier.
Dirty track. It wasn't a normal race weekend. That was evident from Moto2 and Moto3.
It was weird all the way around.
Yeah, 100% it was. Very strange.
But yeah, that's all I've got, boys, on MotoGP.
Yeah, I've got nothing interesting. Yamaha signed a new team principal.
Yeah, Flynn Jarvis.
Yeah, good.
They need to do something. Tom, what do you got?
I'm all done. Moto2, I suppose, Daniel, if you want to get the results going.
Yeah, I got the results. Jake Dixon, Tony Arbolino, and Dennis Onchu, top three. Well done, Tom.
My
He's
boy.
Your man.
He's bad.
Yeah, there you go.
Good stuff. Alonso Lopez, Manu Gonzalez, Somkiat Chantra, Marcos Ramirez, Ayagura, Darren Binder, and Celestino Vietti. Round 8, top 10.
Floodgates have opened for Onchu, I'm telling you. He's going to win two or three races by the end of the year.
Well, his interview was interesting. He said he hasn't changed anything for his riding style. It was just that he's not injured now.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean,
taking the credit.
Yeah. Asterix against that call at the start of the year. He was injured. So, Ian, fuck.
Did you know that?
James, we're on a MotoGP podcast. I know everything. All right, Stadega. But yeah, I mean, that was a wild race. That was a great wild race.
It actually wasn't a bad race.
But bro, Aaron Canet, like, there's nothing that frustrates me more when someone makes three mistakes in a row, then goes like this. Like, fuck, bro, what did you do? You high-sided.
He had a wild first.
He ran wide, then he high-sided, and he's blaming someone else. Yeah, it was all his fault.
That's right.
Like, come on, man. He's got to, like, he just gets under pressure. His anxiety or something gets him.
Needs
the anti-Ds, bro.
Yeah, fucking he does. Hell. Now, he needs, like, Ritalin or something. He needs a more concentration.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. He gets out of the sand trap. He's like this. I'm like, bro,
what do you expect?
Like, terrible start.
The commentators made a great point. That track sort of sucks you in as well. You make one mistake, you end up making a handful of them straight after.
Yeah. That's a good point.
It's never just one.
Like, Moto2 right now is like someone could just grasp the championship and no one wants it. You know, Sergio Garcia had a stinker of a weekend.
Shit weekend.
Fermanaldia threw himself into the moon.
That's pressure, that crash.
That was pressure.
Yeah, he was trying to do way too much.
And he was quick as well.
Yep.
He had race-winning pace.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have, if he had have taken his time, he would have run that race by 2-3 seconds more.
And it pains me to say it, but the smartest ride out there was Jake Dixon.
Yeah, it was.
He kept his nose clear.
You know what? I've got to give it to him. These last few weeks, the way he's changed the way he rides and like brings that bike home, credit to him, man.
Mm. Yeah.
I still don't like him, but... he's a lot smarter.
Yeah, until we meet him at Phillip Island, Daniel will be licking his toes.
No, I'll say g'day to him, but I'm not going to say to him, like, oh, yeah, hi, Jake. Like,
what about if he goes, Daniel, you can jump on the bike and have a feel of the bike?
Give it a rev.
Yeah, I'll be like, sick, thanks, bro.
Still don't like you.
Thanks, Chief. Here's my phone. Take a photo. Do you want my autograph as well? I'll sign your tank.
Got to pay to come on the pod, bro.
Yeah, that's it. Hi, Jake.
No, he started growing me a little bit. Like, he's still arrogant as full fucks. And
how's his little boyfriend freaking flinging the money at him after the race? Pull his leathers off, bro. Stick it in your mouth.
He's more American. He's more American than he is Pommy. He's got that arrogant American about him. I don't know, but he's fucking. He's a good rider. He's a good rider. He had a great weekend.
He's a good rider.
We always say the sport needs characters, and he's a character.
Yeah,
yeah. No,
like,
he's good
on him for showing it. Like,
yeah.
As much 100%. As it pisses people off.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, it gets people talking though.
Sometimes you got to be a hater, but I like being a hater sometimes.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, that's what makes it exciting, but you need that rivalry. Like, how fun is it when fucking Bagnaia flows to the gravel trap and then it's going to be crazy next week?
Yeah,
like,
you need a rivalry.
That's racing. How good is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Alex Marquez is going to need security in Italy.
Fucking oath
he might not make it through the airport.
Nah, he's still an Italian fucking manufacturer. He'll be fine.
Yeah, it does matter, but he has that
trump card, you know what I'm saying? He would pull out at last minute. Hey, Grassini, come on. Look after me. What are you doing? Well, I'm walking here. I'm walking.
Did you put something on?
Gaffer was a
you'll get the 10 cupper out.
Gaffer.
But yeah, good race, Jake.
Great race. And like those bikes on that track, awesome. Because like low grip, they're already like, they always fling the rear around anyway. So like it was a joy. It was a really good race to watch.
Great to see Tony Arbolino back as well.
I was about to ask, who got second again? Was Tony Arbolino. Yeah, really good. He's a good, he seems like such a good guy, Tony Arbolino.
Yeah, they reckon he's pretty good dude.
Yeah, nice guy. Yeah. No, they all say how nice he is in the pits, I suppose. So.
Yeah. And it was interesting to hear his post-race. He was like, you know, second's obviously good, but if it's not a win, it's not worth it sort of thing. Like, so that. I love that mentality.
I think he's finally got his head around the new tyres as well.
Got that's a bit of a comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who knows what could happen.
Mm.
He has a string of, like, look at Jake Dixon's had a really good string of races the last few. And now he's in fourth or fifth in the championship by 40 points.
Yeah.
Bro, Aldeguer had 5 good races and got a Ducati contract. That's what I mean.
I know, it's crazy. That's right. You know?
Well, this is next two rounds are Tony Arbolino's rounds, two Misano rounds. Like this is you know, he's spun how many laps around there.
So is it a 2-week break between races? It is, isn't it?
Between Misano and Misano. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
That makes sense, I guess.
Are they going to do any like testing that middle week or anything like that? Or was anything that...
They normally run a Misano test, I believe.
Yeah.
I think they just did one. They just did one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yamaha and Honda.
They did. That's right, yes.
Just...
Yeah, because Acosta
parts.
Was there testing WP suspension on the Moto 2.
Mm. That's going to be interesting. There's some big points to be had the next two rounds. Because if you nail that track, you can win. You might be able to win 4 races.
Mm. Well, apparently Sergio Garcia, they were saying, was super disgruntled because he wanted that Primark. He wanted a MotoGP ride.
So apparently he had 2 contracts.
Yeah, okay. Trackhouse and Primark. And they're going to go off other people.
So is that Jack signed?
Has Miguel Oliveira signed for Primark Yamaha
not
yet?
Not officially. He said it's pretty much done though.
I keep thinking that he has.
No.
They'll probably wait until they're in Italy to sign to
Yeah, I think someone wrote that in the hot takes.
Because that's what they...
Why haven't they signed him yet?
Who knows? They might be waiting for something to happen.
This is a long time, man. Yeah, like, I'm getting more nervous about it. Because I kept thinking that he's signed.
No. Asked him, I saw the pre-race interview and they said, like,
something's going on.
He goes, oh, no, it's pretty much done, but we're just waiting for the
But is that him just trying to, you know...
Push it along.
Yeah.
So who's racing for Trackhouse next year? Fernandez and...
Aigura.
Yeah, so he's gone. He has to be gone.
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah. He's out of Trackhouse. Yeah. He's not on Aprilia. It's going to be interesting. I mean, there's been a few moves for Moto2 as well. Jake Dixon's going to Mark VDS next year. Mm. Manu Gonzalez just signed for Intact GP.
Yeah, he's going to be St. Aegis's.
St. Aegis's teammate.
How cool is that?
That's a Motorsport Republica team, right? Yeah.
He is. My God, it is too.
They reckon
we should go for a bit of sponsorship on that bike. What do you reckon?
Yeah, 100%. Bring a few stickers when we go to the back of the and just slap it on there.
Fuck yeah, we'll do it.
Arbolino is apparently going to go to Master Camp because of the tie-in with Pramac Yamaha. Yeah. And his friendship with Quartararo, I think, is helping that as well. Yeah. So they're really, really tight.
Yeah.
So.
Did you say Vietti? He's moved to speed up. He's taken Fermin Aldeguer's spot. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that move. Actually. Yeah, that's same. That's not bad at all. He actually had a pretty good race and then he got punted off the road by Joe Roberts.
Yeah, he did.
You know, that was stiff. He was looking pretty good. I think he could have been definitely up for a top four at least.
Talk to me about Joe Roberts, Daniel.
Dude, I'm off him. And I love Joe Roberts.
Yeah. Dumb crash.
You know what this reminded me of? He reminded me of Martin last year in Qatar. You know, when he was just like shaking his head. Yeah, he was just super frustrated.
Yeah.
And like lost his nerve. Stupid move. He was all over the tail of Ramirez. Then he goes to make a dumb pass and launches himself into orbit. Then he starts like smashing the gravel. I'm like, what for?
Yeah, he did the double, like, buddy, the big one, didn't he?
Like he just was a stupid move. You had him lined up. Just wait. You know better. And he would have seen Aldeguer do the same thing earlier in the race as well. Like, he's done this way too many times. I'm off him at the moment.
That's you've been shaved, Joe Roberts, by Daniel.
Dick of the week.
You've been brushed.
Yeah.
Dick of the week.
by one of his biggest fans.
Yep. No, I'm off him
sexy,
for the moment.
Sexy heaven dick of the week.
100%. Joe Roberts, you are the sexy heaven dick of the week.
Oh, that's gold.
12 inches.
Yeah, all 12 inches of you up your ass, Joe Roberts.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I was so disappointed, man. I'm a massive fan, but I'm just off him at the moment. He's just, you know, I think it's more frustrating too because, like you said, no one's taking this by the balls.
No one is. It's interesting.
Like, it's actually becoming annoying to watch it because it's like, can someone just, if anyone, it's Jake Dixon.
Oh, man.
He's a form rider at the moment. He just fluffed the first seven rounds.
Yeah. The crazy part is Alonso Lopez is only 30 points behind.
Yeah.
And he really hasn't lit it up this year either.
He hasn't. He's just been there.
Consistent. Well, you know? You're right.
So I think this will turn a lot in the flyaways.
Yeah, this is where it'll be won.
Yeah. So it's somewhere where Alonso Lopez will come through and dominate like he did a couple of years ago.
So we think Garcia is disgruntled because he didn't get his contract for next year. Is that the word on the street? I think we had a message from that as well.
Yeah, he's really pissed off about it.
That should never affect your performance, though. That's unprofessional.
It should make you so try harder.
Yeah.
But he's, for me, he's still the best rider in that paddock.
He seems most to be talented. The standout of the for the year.
Yeah, he's standout for the year. Talent's a big one.
Yeah, but the second year in, people forget. Yeah, I know,
but that's true. It takes a lot longer.
Yeah.
These other guys have been there 3-4.
Yeah. Aaron Canet felt like he's been there for 15 years.
May as well have been.
Yeah. He's probably been there for, what, five? At least five.
I think he has four or five.
Yeah, at least five, I think.
Yeah, it's a long time. I mean, what do you do? Spend your whole career in Moto2, Moto3, like...
Yeah, people do it.
Yeah, people, right.
Mattia Pessini is a good example of that.
Great example.
You know, Anthony West did a lot of years in the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
There's some heroes out of that.
I think you can still make a good living out of it, I suppose.
I guess so. You're traveling the world racing bikes.
As a young kid racing bikes.
Better than working 9 to 5 like we do, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. 100%. What do we got for Moto3, Dan?
Moto3...
Up there with the strangest Moto3 races I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. I didn't get to watch this, unfortunately.
So strange.
I'm keen to hear what you boys think. Jose Antonio Rueda, Colin Vaya, Luca Lunetta, David Alonso, Joel Kelso, fifth.
Yeah, good race.
Tayo Furusato, David Munoz, Shabby Surataza, Danny Holgado, and Matteo Bertelli.
Yeah. Well, first of all, congratulations, Raider. First race win.
Yeah, and awesome. 400th different winner in Moto 3.
Yep.
Or lightweight class.
Was it that class or was it in GP in general? Like in the...
Oh, I have no idea. Maybe it is GP in general. Yeah, you're probably right, actually. But it was really
unbelievable.
Good. Great race. Great race.
And another race where there could have been someone that took it by the reins. It just didn't. David Alonso was up.
Tried.
2 seconds. Furusato went like bang, bang, fastest lap, and then just started dropping back again.
Yeah, he made a mistake.
Very strange race.
As soon as you made a mistake, as you said, like your three corners of mistakes, because you had dirty tyres, because the track was filthy.
Great point with that. Because if you go offline, you dirty your tyres up and then it affects the whole lap.
Because it was that drying conditions for them, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
A little bit. They were still wet. It was like a dry line and that was really it.
They were 4 seconds a lap slower off their like record pace, race pace.
At least.
Yeah, okay.
At least.
So really interesting. That's a big chunk of time.
And Rueda had the hards on. So his tyres lasted in the end where I think David Alonso just chewed through. Because when he took off from the start and he had a 2 second lead after four.
Alonso things.
Yeah.
And Alonso led all practice qualifying pole and looked like a shoo-in. And then, it was very strange.
Yeah, it was.
Mixed conditions.
Yep. Mixed conditions. And tyres were a huge part in the race. Mm. As you said, Raider going for the hards obviously was the right decision.
Yeah, definitely. But how could you make that? It was just probably a big gamble, that race.
Hey, he took a gamble and it paid off.
Yeah.
Jim, that never happens.
Yeah, true.
It never happens.
For the rookie win.
No, it happened for old mate in Superbikes there, won his first race.
Which one?
Ages ago with the wets when the race got red flag.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Was he on Kawasaki? What was he on?
No, he was on
Petrucci's.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That was his first race.
Spinelli,
yeah.
That's a good memory, Daniel.
Yeah, well done. That's very good. And also to Lynetta, first podium as well.
Yeah. On this 58 Squadra Corsa bike. Yeah. That's very
on
special, man. With number 58.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, I don't think he asked for. They asked him to race with 58.
That'd be a pretty bold thing to ask for, but wouldn't it?
Yeah, 100%. When it's a retired number.
Yeah.
Someone fact check me on that, but I'm pretty sure. Good old Paolo said, please ride with 58.
Obviously, an Italian heritage. Luca.
Yes.
Luca Lanetta.
He's Italian, yep. Yeah. Great to see the 58 back on the podium.
Yeah, 100%.
The bike paying homage to the great man.
That's actually a big deal. Like, I didn't realize that until now, but that is a really big deal. And for his team, Paolo Simoncelli, he's had a run of more Japanese riders and stuff as well. He hasn't had the Italian talent in there the last few years, has he?
No, I don't think so. It's funny though, because it seems to be that the Italians and Japs get along quite well. Like Rossi loved all the Jap guys as well.
World War II, I suppose, yeah. Right.
Coming up the ranks and whatnot, so... it's just really good to see Paolo just putting
but he is awesome.
putting back into the sport.
And if this kid's got some talent coming through, I mean, we sit next to Paolo in the Pinos every year, and he's got such a family-orientated team.
They're playing cards at the table.
He's always got the riders there. They always seem to be Japanese riders, but obviously he's got his little young Italian.
But when we spoke to Senna as well, because he raced for that team in the CRV championship, he was saying it's almost like a healing thing for Paolo, like to nurture the young talent coming through, because obviously his son.
Yeah.
Like it's a pretty full-on thing. So.
Yeah, it's amazing to see him in the paddock, you know.
So good, and it's so good for him to, I don't know, that heritage as well. Like he just keeps it going.
Yeah, I guess keeps his son relevant.
Yeah.
Which we're at his track next week anyway.
Yeah, yes, 100%.
Next round, so.
2 rounds, yeah.
Which is exciting. But as I said, I don't have much on Moto3, unfortunately, boys. So anything else that was a standout? I think there was a couple milestone races from what I heard.
I was just happy for Joel Kelso, fifth place. I thought that was good.
Yeah, he's there or thereabouts. And that's I think he still finished ahead of Munoz. Munoz had a great second half of the race, but beating your teammate, that's all you got to worry about.
Yeah, 100%.
Exactly right.
He'll score a podium before the end of the year, 100%.
Hopefully Joel. Australia, that'd be awesome.
Oh, man.
He did it last year, so hopefully he does it again. And hopefully have some nice conditions this year. That'd be lovely.
Fingers crossed. That's what we need.
47 days away to all the Australian Grand Prix. Very excited.
Oh, dude.
It's going to be massive.
Cannot wait.
It's going to be massive. I did write down a note for Moto3, and it works for Moto2 as well. But how does Akiyo just consistently find talent? Like, you had Rueda, that's just one. They've had Binder, Oliveira, like, you name it, Pedro Acosta. Like, his eye for talent is incredible, just to put the right people on that bike, you know. Every year, you know, a Red Bull KTM and Moto 2 or Moto 3 is out there.
Yeah, it's going to be doing something good.
That Red Bull Rookies Cup that comes through, do they just, does the winner of that each year just flow into that team? Is that how it works?
I think they still, no, they still just got to get signed. But yeah. I think Pedro Acosta dominated that series.
How smart is that? How smart is that? You put like 20 or 30 young kids in the same machine, the same bike, wait, see who the best is, and then just sign them for your Moto 3 team.
It's good racing as well to watch.
Yeah, it's insane.
I haven't seen a lot of vision of that this year. Normally, like, it's a bit of a curtain raiser for some of the races.
It's on after now for some of it. Yeah, I think Mugello was on before, because I remember watching that. But when I was watching all the Aragon stuff, was after.
Gotcha.
Do they do two races in that as well on a weekend? Is it similar sort of style to Superbike?
I couldn't tell you.
I think they're doing a little like mini docu-series on it, like a Drive to Survive.
Oh, that'd be cool.
For this year's Red Bull Rookies Cup, I've seen a few trailers for it, and it looks pretty good.
That's wild.
The future champions.
But it'd be cool to go back to that if one of them does make it and go, oh, this is like a documentary we did, you know, 15 years ago. That'd be sick.
That would be cool.
It's crazy to think they're only, what, 14, 15? A bit older.
Yeah, 14, 15, 16, yeah, for sure. I think it ranges. I think it varies from like 15 to 18, 15 there to 19 on the rookies.
Pretty insane.
Yeah. All right. F1?
Formula One.
Scenes.
Unreal.
They know how to party. They know how to celebrate, the Italians. It's just
they've shut down Italy for 2 weeks.
And what
it was cool. If anyone was going to beat Piastri to that race, it had as the only person I wanted to win.
But this was brewing from last week. Charles had an amazing Dutch Grand Prix, and he stuck with them, and he stuck with them this round, and took the gamble, and the gamble paid off. And the gamble's been paying off this year. Paid off with George Russell in Spa until he got the penalty. But yeah, staying out and doing that one stop. Results, Brish.
Yep. F1 results. Charles Leclerc, Oscar Piastri, Lando Norris, your top three. Carlos Sainz, fourth. Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen, George Russell, Sergio Perez, Alex Albon, and Kevin Magnussen.
K-Mag.
Kevin Magnussen, the first man to get a point and then get a race ban for the next week.
Yeah.
So he hit his penalty points, so he's done too many mischiefs and he's going to be banned for the next race. So interesting, we'll see who Haas throws in. Probably Ollie Bearman for the next race in Azerbaijan in 2 weeks' time.
Yep.
Let's go back to the race. Leclerc, one of the most amazing performances in recent history.
Our second half of our MJ Trading Cars performance of the week.
It reminded me of 2019 Monza when he did the exact same thing. Yeah. Stayed out in those tyres for a long, long time. Very, very, very intelligent, smart race. He stuck behind the McLarens, took the DRS, protected his tyres, let them race to a certain extent, and amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And won convincingly in the end. Like,
yeah, the commentators are saying, oh, Piastri is going to get him with like four laps to go. I'm like, there's no way. It was like 7.5 seconds still.
Wasn't closing that hard.
It was 15 seconds behind when they pitted, and there was like 11 laps left, and he had to pass Sainz.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah. He did good getting past Sainz, though. He made that.
The other thing is that no one really talked about was Carlos Sainz had 4 to 5 lap younger tyres than Leclerc.
And he
still couldn't catch him. And then Carlos Sainz was pretty easy to pass in the end, and then still kept the lead. And it was just such an amazing, amazing drive. So super stoked for him. Super stoked for Italy, Ferrari.
It's as good as it gets. I've got a question after this I want to ask you guys about that. But yeah, the scenes are incredible.
Yeah. I think still another balls up from McLaren. They'll be licking their wounds again.
100%.
I think it's time. They have to now say, we have to go for this championship. Red Bull are struggling big time. World of hurt. You swap those positions. You let Lando get out in the lead and you let him win the race. And you let the points go down.
I don't agree with that at all. I do not agree with that.
You have to make that decision now. Have to.
That's just that's not racing.
Yeah, exactly. Where do you draw the line?
That's not racing at all.
I know, but like they have an opportunity. They might not have this opportunity again.
They're going to bottle it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to – in a way, you're right, but – I'm more with you. Like, it's not racing.
Yeah, it's not racing. If they did that, I wouldn't even really want to watch it, because if I'm watching Piastri not go for the move where I think he can go for the move, then what's the point?
That's right.
What am I watching?
But even at one stage, like I was watching the race and they go, yeah, you guys are free to race. And then Piastri just put, what, four or five quickest laps in and blew out to like and a 2.5, 3 second lead. And I was like, this is like, we're on.
It was so exciting.
Yeah. Well, it's good for us. I mean, Piastri, that move on the second corner was incredible. But I did not see that happening at all.
Even if the roles were reversed, I would still think if it was Lando, he should still do that.
100%.
If the gap's there, great and center, the gap's there, you
go for it.
Yeah. You got to fucking take it. And that's exactly what he said, quote unquote.
Can you read the record books for that one? I'm surprised they haven't Papaya rules, this new thing that they said on the team radio.
What is that?
Obviously they're leading the race.
Good.
I don't think this is going to implode. I'm telling you, this will implode now.
Yeah.
To us, like you saw Norris's reaction in the after the race in that cool down room.
But was Oscar the faster driver through that race?
Who knows, man? Because like Norris went back, he was protecting his tires. The only way he was going to pass him is a tire advantage. Mm. And you saw that last week with Verstappen. He was way faster than Verstappen. But at the start of the race, you saw Norris go back, protect the tires, and then come back at the end of the stint. So who knows? Norris just can't. He's really struggles with his starts. He hasn't. Every time he's been on pole, he hasn't led the first lap, and it happened again. So he's going to work on that big time. He could have pushed. He could have pushed Piastri harder into that corner when Piastri, he could have ran him wide off the track. He didn't.
Let me ask you this real quick. Would Verstappen let that happen?
What's that?
Get past in that first few corners.
No way.
Not a chance,
no way.
Bro.
Exactly. There's the difference.
Yeah. Well, there's a difference. Well, Piastri, if that was Verstappen and Perez, Verstappen would have gone up the inside, knocked Perez out of contention.
Yeah, he wouldn't have given a shit.
He wouldn't have given
that's,
a shit.
And so. we always talk about this, but that's the difference.
But that's the problem with McLaren at the moment is they don't know where they're at. They don't know whether they're leading the race and they don't know whether they're going for the championship. They're in a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, but I don't think that's McLaren thing. That's a Lando up here thing.
Yeah. Beat him. Beat
I get
him
what
fairly.
You're trying. I understand what you're saying. And I get what you're saying too.
Yeah.
In the back of his mind, he must be thinking, well, I can win a championship.
Yeah.
Why am I going to let him pass me when he's not going to win one?
Mm.
I'm only 40 points out or whatever it is now.
Yeah. It's interesting. And the championships on both the categories, MotoGP and F1, they're just brewing to something amazing.
So
but
good.
Now the constructors is heating up in F1 too.
Yeah.
It's pretty much even.
I think
Red Bull's a couple of points ahead maybe.
No, I think because they got that faster. Norris got the faster start. Then I think it might be equal. Or you're right, a couple of points here and there.
Yeah,
they would have been equal if one of them had to finish first.
That's it. If they were 1-2, it would have been equal. They said on the tablet card.
But now Ferrari's not far behind.
I know. I love Ferrari.
This is heating up, man.
Heating up. There's gonna be a point in this season where they have to make a decision. Who knows if it's gonna get to that point? I also see Red Bull having to come back. They have to bring out something. They have to bring out a new upgrade because. Man, they're going to be knocking on Adrian Newey's door going, come back, please.
Yeah, 100%. I think they should only do team orders when they know, okay, Piastri's right out of it and you're at the end of the season when a championship's really on the line. But if you're halfway through the season and you're like, you're already doing team orders,
yeah, forget
I hate
it.
I hate it. I don't like that at all.
There's only seven races left, though.
It's still seven races, though.
Yeah, no, we're two-thirds of the way through the season. I think if this was a Red Bull or a Mercedes, the decision would have already been made. And we saw that with Bottas and Hamilton throughout the years. We've seen that with Ferrari and Schumacher back in the day.
Yeah, but historically, there's always been a clear number one and clear number two.
There's a clear number one.
Has to be McLaren. Lando's been there for 5-6 years. He's a clear number one in that
team.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is, sorry, let me rephrase that. There's a clear difference in the drivers that you're talking about in those years.
Mm.
I don't think the gap between Lando and Oscar is as big as what it was from Bottas to Hamilton or Max to
Perez.
Sergio Barrichello to the shoe. Like,
yeah.
Just because he's been there for 5 years doesn't mean.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's probably going to cost them a championship, I'm going to say.
Like I said, 100%. It's going to come down to anyone's fault, it's going to be theirs for making stupid calls and cracking under the pressure.
Yeah. They can take their pride. They can take their papaya rules, but it might cost them a championship at the end of the year.
And Piastri, you can't go against him for trying to win a race.
100%.
No, of course not. No, not at all.
I think slowly we're starting to see that fire come out more.
Yeah.
With the better results he's having, you can really start to see, okay, this is what they've seen in this kid to even bring him into such a team with a year off.
So, and things can turn around real quickly in a team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you can be the best thing.
Do you guys think that Piastri has a chance to win this championship?
I don't know. I don't know what the points is.
Because this is this is my point. I don't think Piastri has a chance to win the championship. The results, results have to go
his
way.
But my point is you got to be closer to the end of the season and be close. Lando has to be closer to Max at the tipping point of the season, the end of the season, to really put in team orders. But if you're, is there still seven rounds to go? If there's still seven rounds to go, does Ennea Bastianini let Bagnaia through for the lead?
No.
Exactly.
Mm.
Not in your right mind.
Never happens.
Verstappen 303, Norris 241, Charles 217, Oscar 197.
Mm.
Anything can happen. And we've seen it so many times.
Yeah.
Look at the weekend. You know, Lando comes out of a pit stop, gets tangled up with someone going into a corner, for example, or Max or whoever it may be. That changes the whole dynamic of the championship.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Let's see. It's going to be interesting. I'm really excited for the next few races.
Lando just can't, not Lando, but anyone just can't be expected, entitled to win a championship and let other drivers.
You
got to
earn it.
You got to earn it.
Mm.
And in the first, what's the first rule of motor racing? Beat your teammate.
That's it.
Correct. Very good
point. Stop whining. I hate it.
I'm 100% with you, man.
The Pommies.
I don't like him. I don't like Lando Norris. He's fucking pussy.
Ooh, Jim's thrown flames.
I don't like him.
Okay.
Don't like him. He's just too entitled.
What's with you guys not liking the English?
Yeah, there's something in that.
Well, what do I get? I think.
I got bad food. Sorry, Pommies. Food sucks.
Dick of the week, you reckon?
Yeah.
But yeah, back to what we're saying.
Barry Sheen's OG, but yeah, love Barry Sheen.
Look. Leclerc, James amazing Hunt. Performance. One thing we have to talk about is Kimi Antonelli.
Yeah.
Like that kid, 18-year-old, signed Mercedes.
Pretty amazing.
T-shirt picked that as well.
Yeah, another crystal ball.
I swear to God, I said he was going to sign for Mercedes.
Nah, we both did, but I'll keep going. just turned 18. This kid's going to be exciting. He comes out, first lap of practice, puts it on top. Second lack of presses puts it in the wall.
Right off the car.
Like that is, that's showtime, isn't it? Like, and he's, good on him. Like he's not doing things by half marks. He's going for it.
Yeah, that's it. That's the best way to be though.
So I'm really excited for him next year. I hope he just fucking destroys Russell because that'll be awesome. And then my prediction, early prediction, Jim, listen to this. Russell gone, Max Verstappen to Mercedes 26. Bang.
Watch out. Yeah, I like that.
And Kimi Antonelli and Max Verstappen and Mercedes. We'll see.
What a team. I've been seeing a little bit online of Lando to Red Bull. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, I've been seeing that as well. Good question.
Well, that would be an ideal replacement for Max if he leaves in 26. I think Red Bull have to keep that conversation open with other drivers in case this happens. They can't be left on their back foot.
No way.
So you have to keep these conversation open. Like how Toto Wolff has never said that they're not going for Verstappen. He's always kept that, you know, line open, I suppose.
Of course.
What's going on with Red Bull? What's happening?
Man, the day Adrian Newey left is the day they went downhill. It's just incredible.
Isn't it?
And the thing is, what you have to understand with Adrian Newey, he designed the car, but if they had issues, he knew how to fix them.
Mm.
Yeah, they've got an issue at the moment they cannot fix. They do not know what's wrong with this car. And it's super surprising that, like, as we said last week, 4 months ago, bro, they were winning by every race. We thought of the most dominant season in history, blah, 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 blah. Now we're talking about, which McLaren driver is going to win the championship?
I know how it's changed.
But this is what happens when you don't put the development into other people and you rely on one person.
Yeah, I've seen that a few times.
That's a great point.
Haven't we ever? Yeah. Across all different motorsports. Yeah.
So, look, I reckon his phone's getting ring off the hook because it shows you how talented this guy is and how important he is to the team. That's why I think Aston Martin are going to pay him a gazillion dollars to come to that team next year.
Yeah.
Or 2026 maybe for the new rakes.
Yeah.
And they'll reap the rewards, that's for sure.
Yeah. But it's interesting. I mean, it's shocking to see how, like, Max just did nothing in the race. Absolutely nothing. Like he didn't even look threatening. Didn't even look threatening. Nah. The first run of qualifying, Perez out-qualified him, and he came in and just beat him at the end. But yeah, it's funny when he puts on that last set of tyres in qualifying, you expect him just to go up the top and that didn't happen. So the closest top six qualifying in Formula One history you witnessed on the weekend.
Oh, shit, there you go.
So 0.3 covered the hot top six. So first time. That's first time ever. And then, yeah, Red Bull were probably another 0.3 behind that. So pretty incredible.
They're definitely behind the eight ball. And it's really visible now.
Yeah.
And what they've come out publicly and said, we do not know what is wrong with this car. It's not like there is a terminal, like there's a fix. Yeah. Like the porpoising Mercedes, they go, we need to fix this. They knew what the issue was. They do not know what the issue is. So
that's even worse, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And they're going backwards. Like they are going backwards because they're probably the fourth best car on the grid now, as we saw in Monza.
Mm. 100%.
What's the go with slow pit stops? That whole race, everyone was having issues.
I've got a theory behind that is backed up with some science, is when it's hot conditions, they really struggle to get the nuts off because they do expand in the heat.
Okay.
So that is a fact that there's been years and years of things like that. So that's my theory. That's a myth to a certain extent, but that's my theory. It's always when it's a hot race, because it was 34, 35 degrees, they always cannot get these because they're obviously millimeter or, you know, 1/10 of a millimeter to get these things off. So that's my theory to a certain extent, I suppose.
Makes my sense. Only explanation.
Yeah, it does. I like that. That's good. Also, it was interesting to watch. I was going to ask you guys this question of the scenes of Charles Leclerc winning Monza. Is it the best podium in motorsport?
Yeah, 100%.
It'd have to be.
Yeah.
What's the Mount Rushmore of podiums in motorsport?
Le Mans up there.
I was going to say Le Mans 24 hour.
Yep.
Monza.
Monza Ferrari win. Are we going to be specific?
Yeah.
Monza with a Ferrari win.
Indy 500 with the milk traditions, kind of cool.
That's a good one.
Yep. That's kind of cool.
It's a historic one that doesn't happen anymore, but Rossi Mugello is the best podium motorsport. Mm.
Australia is really good as well when they let them on the track. They didn't let them on this year.
Yeah.
But Australia is really cool because that full, like when they let those everyone on the grid, it's cool. And then when the podium faces the crowd, that's always the best
one. It's always the best
one. Jerez is pretty good too.
Jerez, yeah.
Especially for Spanish rider wins.
Yep.
That's Mexico. Mexico's a cool. They go to the baseball stadium and they have the podium and they come up through the floor and they've got that indoor stadium. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
But I think the top two stand out. Yeah, it has to be Monza and Le Mans 24 hour.
Yeah.
Yep.
That must be a wild feeling winning something like that, like being Charles on the weekend and all those Ferrari fans chanting for you.
Yeah.
How can you not have a massive ego after that? Like seriously.
It'd be emotional, man. Like fuck, it's just crazy. Like
it'd be a lot to take in.
It would be, wouldn't it?
That all the sea of red and the big, like, oh, I feel sorry for the people that got that big love heart Scuderia Ferrari poster. There's people under it, like, oh, this is a cutscene podium. That would suck. You pull the short straw to get underneath them, wouldn't you? Far out. Because you can see the hands go like this. Trying to look. Oh, that's funny. But that's number one, Jim.
Yeah,
Ferrari win a Monza, number one. It's the first time in 5 years it's happened. Remember the days back when Schumacher was dominating there. Like, they do put a lot of money and effort into that because they got obviously aerodynamics just for that track. So they put a package together just for Monza, and it's always the thing with Ferrari is they spend the big money, big bucks on that. So it paid for them. Charles Leclerc, man, like amazing performance of the year, maybe.
Yeah, that was great.
We'll have a performance of the year.
Yeah, that's a good one for the end of the year.
That could be my nomination, I reckon.
I like that.
2019, I'm telling you, that Monza 2019 performance when he had the Mercedes behind them, prime Mercedes, prime. I'm talking GOAT Mercedes.
You went Donald Trump then with your hands.
I always do. It's a bit of a segue to our Patreon. That was an incredible performance and he backed it up this year, so... Yeah,
it was brilliant to watch.
Yeah.
And that 2019, as you said, that was insane.
It was always like one of those ones that always sticks in your memory.
Yeah.
Because his tyres were like 20 laps older than Mercedes. Well, GOAT Mercedes, as I said, and he still kept out front. Weird though, Monza, hard track to pass. Doesn't make sense, does it? You got 3 DRS zones.
Yeah.
We got all this slipstreaming. Because the wings are so thin, they run such a low downforce.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of effect with the toe and a lot of effect with the... with the DRS. And because there's less aerodynamics on the car now, there's actually less tow.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Do you think new regs will change that?
Well, new regs are getting rid of DRS altogether. So there's no more DRS, but they're going to have like underneath floor DRS where you can like activate it at any time. Okay. So that'd be cool. Interesting. Hopefully they don't go too you know,
techie.
Yeah, like push to pass and all that shit they have in IndyCars. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Cool scenes, but
the less downforce on motorsport is better.
The better, yeah.
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 Like we looked at, you know,
IndyCar back in the day. You want to watch some crashing?
Yeah.
When they just did, I didn't even know what aerodynamics and downforce was. Wing, a wing looks cool. Yeah, that's exactly what they were saying. Good. Seven up IndyCars.
Wicked wings.
Also, you know, we talked about liveries the other day. The mild 7 1995 Schumacher Benetton was the fucking cool livery.
That's your number one, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But no, but they ran the 7-Eleven livery in the year before.
Mm.
They went to mild 7 the year after. I think I like the mild 7 better.
Okay.
Yeah, good call.
Carry on.
I like it. A bit of livery talk from T-Shavs. That's a bit strange.
Yeah, not special livery. I'm just talking about general livery.
Are you a bit hot?
I'm overheating.
They're fogging up. He overheats in the fucking Antarctic. You'll be the only person in Phillip Island when it's 4 degrees pissing down rain. He goes, Jim, bit hot.
If I was always thought to myself, well, I actually went to Antarctica and I accidentally fell into one of those little like water ice things. I'll just kick really hard. I'll be like heating up. It'll be fine. I'm a reason for global warming down there, I reckon.
Hypothermia couldn't get you up.
No way.
After a couple of beers as well, fuck, I'd be boiling the water.
Oh, fuck. Game over.
You know what's boiling? Our hot takes.
Hot takes. Nice, yeah, they're getting Jim. A bit out of control. I like it.
They're getting a bit out of control, aren't they? Like, I don't know how.
I can't get through.
Some weird requests in there, but.
Yeah.
Well, some cool requests as well.
Yeah,
it's OCP, fucking, how you going?
It's a lot of biddies after me. It's fucking too much.
Sorry, Trip.
It is getting a bit hard, literally. Right you are, carry on.
Right you are.
3 seconds later.
Yeah.
All right, let's get them going. At Matt Olds, what's your boy's favourite MotoGP or F1 crash of all time? Obviously not the deaths. I like how you put that one in.
I'll go first. I loved Lorenzo's crash in Shanghai.
I wanted to say that.
That is the craziest that was the craziest crash I've ever seen, that big high side. Fuck, he's still in the air, saying.
Cheeseburger.
And
it would have come down pretty quick and pretty hard.
It's a tie for me. Barrichello, Imola, 94.
Oh, yeah.
And Kubica, Canada, 07 was a crazy crash.
With the arm?
Yeah. Special mention, Ralf Schumacher Barrichello, Australia in 2002, which I've got a plaque at home about crash, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Is that when we bought it off the meth head?
Yeah. It has a piece of the wing on the picture. So, the piece of the wing.
I run a half marathon, my first ever half marathon.
Oh, you had to drop that in there.
I had to drop it in there.
What a
flog. Was that when you had the kidney problems or was that another one?
No, that was a marathon.
Ran. Have a go at him.
I opened him for that one.
Ran through that like a champion as well. Ran through it. I'm better than everyone else.
Go on, okay.
What are you running from?
Oh, I don't want to know. You don't want to know, Chidge. I had a dream about Kane from WWE trying to kill me last night. So there's you.
Kane!
So there's you. I dived into hell and he still chased me.
James gets night terrors, you know that? He fucking...
Yeah, I have, you know what's that thing where you sleep paralysis? Paralysis?
Travis Pastrana.
Yeah, I've literally seen demons at the end. Yeah, do you know about that? He's got night terrors, bro.
If you would have known, that's such a random answer. It's such a random answer if you don't know that. Daniel was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Travis Pastrana like
has night terrors.
Yeah, because he has no fear. He has no fear in real life.
It's suppressed fear.
Suppressed fear. Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
So
you learn a lot on this podcast, man. You can learn a lot. I learn a lot. Fucking what Curtis likes in the bedroom, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Berries and shit.
Anime octopus.
I'm gonna piss myself. Furries.com.au /Kenny.
The only thing that's getting close to the Asian market are you two with the fucking massage parlor. Now shut the fuck up.
Oh my god.
I'm actually crying.
Oh fuck. No.
Don't you dare diss the massage parlor.
Dude, Velvet Hands MSR 15%.
need a massage?
Say g'day to Cherry.
I know, don't go anywhere near Cherry. That's my girl.
Don't you dare.
You know what's really a really problem about this? All that stemmed from what's your favourite MotoGP or F1 crash?
I'm fucking up.
Oh, man.
Oh, fuck, that's
all
funny.
Right, so I had about 17 answers. Someone else go now.
Mine's Jorge Lorenzo again. Cheeseburger. I love cheeseburgers. My weekly cheeseburger.
Cheesy.
Assen, when he came back after a broken collarbone. Yeah. In the wet. That's my favorite crash of all time.
That's a hard act to follow, Brish.
Yeah, that is actually. There's been a couple good ones. Probably Marquez when he just launches himself into orbit all the time.
That Indonesia, Thailand. I was thinking that one. That's a fucking that's actually a large crash.
That's probably the biggest crash I've ever seen.
That's pretty huge.
Yeah, that was huge, and like it just snapped in a second.
There's a good one. The OGs will know this. 2000 Kenny Roberts. He. There's famous footage. I think it's Kenny Roberts. It's definitely on a Suzuki. He launches himself over the bike, and he's almost like walking. Have you seen that where his legs are going?
Yeah.
That's a gnarly crash.
Yeah. Hopper's crash was pretty full on too.
Yeah.
When he went feet first into the wall.
Yeah. Good one.
That was pretty gnarly.
You can see when you see him walk now. He's
poor guy.
Yeah.
That was gnarly. And I don't know if you guys ever seen Nicky Hayden at the top of the corkscrew went over the barrier.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
Jack Miller's at Le Mans was a wild one. That's one of the scariest crashes I've ever
seen. Yeah, that could have been a lot worse. I don't know how
he walked away from that, man.
Yeah, that was luck. The luck was on his side for that one.
There's been a couple pretty large ones.
Definitely.
F1 crash?
Look, I'm not going to lie. I don't have anything. Sorry.
I would have said Barrichello's at Imola.
Yeah.
That's the only one I really know of. There's a good one. Who was it that had that big crash? Was it Raikkonen in Albert Park? It was probably 10 years ago now.
Alonso had a big one turn three at Albert Park when he went. There's a great vision of it because the camera's right there.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Alonso on the McLaren when it was a GP2 engine.
Yeah. At Breeden Hardcastle, Mavericks quest is to be a trivia question, not a world champion. I'm a Maverick fan though.
Oh man, I just
I just wanted to say that because he's shit house.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he'll get forgotten about, Mav?
No, because you know what he's going to do. He's going to win on a fourth manufacturer, and that's the trivia question.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, is that what Hardcastle's saying? Yeah. Well, he'll always. Yeah. I mean, I think he'll be remembered. Is he a Moto 2 champion?
Moto 3.
Yeah. Okay. Fuck. He hasn't done a lot.
One on the last corner of the last lap.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That was pretty cool.
It was meant to be the next big thing, man, when he came in.
When he came to Yamaha and he was the pre-season test king, and I was like, he's going to take it to Marquez. Like, we all thought it.
I thought it as well.
You know, I was like, I'm still a Marquez fan, but I was a massive Marquez fan. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is going to be it. Like, he's going to take it. And just did nothing.
Typical.
He's got to have some, like, mental demons, man. That's got
to
be it.
Maybe he needs to start running marathons like Big Dog Jim over here.
Self-proclaimed.
That's a sure thing.
Oh my god, that is a sure thing.
I added the winking, but
fucking hell, needs to be fucking cutting his fucking legs already.
Yeah, which plays the course? What's the record?
Yeah.
Shout out, Dave.
Oh my god, Dave. My goodness.
Who's he got? What is it? Three world championships and
it's actually
two Victorian road racing titles.
Oh, did you see my comment? I haven't heard of that one before.
Yeah,
fucking Strega.
You witch.
It's where's the first tee and what is the course record as well. I was going to correct him, but I thought I'd give him his time to shine.
He would just hit back at you harder.
Yeah, he would. Yeah.
You're never going to win.
Yeah.
Those old dogs, they can't take a trick.
Nah.
Tom, your boy, it's cold papa. Hot take. Regardless of Furman being on Ducati, Iogura would be the rookie of the year. And I agree.
That's a hot take.
That's a good call, though.
The Japanese they're going to struggle sometimes.
Yeah, but he's
either
going to
go two ways.
Mm,
he's either going to go really well or he's going to just end up in the kitty litter all the time.
Mm.
Agura, this is.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, probably both of them really.
At the rate he's going, it makes more sense for Agura to be in that spot, eh? That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That's a great
one.
Take.
It's a good take.
My money's on Agura.
Yep.
At _Undergods_racing, do you guys believe Chantra can accomplish more than Taka if given the same amount of time?
Yep.
Oh, well, I mean, how much time did Taka Nakagami get? He got 5 years, didn't he?
Yeah, at least.
Nah, more.
Bro.
Six, maybe six, seven?
Six or seven.
Yeah,
I think,
like
it?
Chantra. I think Chantra's a talent, man. Yeah. I like Somkiat Chantra. I think he's a good fella. Get him on the pod.
Nakagami has like one race in memory. It was Aragon, 2 years ago when he started second. Or did he start on pole?
I think he started on pole and crashed second corner.
Yeah. Marquez just got like bullied him, I remember.
Yeah.
He bullied the shit out of him. He didn't know what to do.
He's been there for 7 years.
Shit. Yeah.
Bro, so that's a great take, but 100%. He's gonna do more. He has to do more than Nakagami after
it's gonna
7 years.
It's gonna take time though. Like he's on a stinker of a motorcycle. Mm.
Mm. Bro, if Honda and Yamaha are still at the back in 7 years' time, it's impossible.
Nah,
not
if the rule changes.
No.
Definitely not. This is a good one. At Joe Goose Jameson, Bruno back on the calendar. That means Carol Abraham is making a comeback too. OGs, I know that one.
Yeah, Carol Abraham. Daddy's money.
Yeah, Bruno Honda.
Yep.
At MotoPC, MotoGP should have a danger round at a street course or the island.
What's that mean? Oh, a street course.
Yeah, or the TT island, I should say.
Yeah, okay. I had a great, I don't know if this is in the takes and I'm not spoiling it, but someone said we should have they should have a 500cc two-stroke race.
I didn't see that.
Like
one.
a legends race on the old 500cc.
Yeah, I think
bikes.
Someone submitted that on a DM as a hot take.
That would be fucking cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, I wonder how many there'd be still heaps out there running. Surely.
Yeah.
The Suda make that 500cc bike. You chuck them all on that.
Yeah. Mm. That's true.
Well, I'm talking more like MotoGP bikes from that era. Because the Honda was out on the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, Crivier
was.
Yeah.
Did he? I think I did a couple of laps.
Yeah, he did.
I didn't see any footage of that.
Lucky Dylan wasn't around to punt him off.
Yeah. Yes. Fuck you, Crivier.
Like Cam Donald said, though, those bikes wouldn't last on a street circuit.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
Yeah. So
shit will start falling off them.
Yeah, exactly right. As Caddy cool as it would fire. Be. Yeah.
Man, I wonder if one day in MotoGP there will be a street race. I really do see it happening. I don't know how they're going
to
do it.
No, it'll never happen, Tom. It's way too dangerous.
We'll see. I mean, there's got to be runoff. There can't have walls either side of you, but somewhere in the world, they have to make it happen. We'll see. No.
At Derek Hall, 10 plus years from now, will people praise Pecco as a legend or say he only won because of the bike?
No, they'll praise him. It's the Lorenzo effect. We've said it all the time.
Yeah, no, I think he'll still be praised as a legend.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
You're still going to beat the other GP24s.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing with MotoGP. There's four of them. In other categories, you've got to beat your teammate, but there's four of the same bikes on the grid.
Three. Morbidelli doesn't count.
Oh, yeah, true.
Mortadella.
Mortadella.
At the ideal homie, KTM will dominate the new regs like how Red Bull dominated with Vettel and Max.
No, sorry.
Mm. I like that hot take. I like it. But they're $2 billion in the red. I don't think they're putting too much in.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I don't know.
But they're
that's
the one
news to me about that. That's a big deficit, though, $2 billion. Like, that's
they're normally the crisis. Ones, if there's new regs, though, they'll be putting big dollars in with HRC. Yeah, we'll but I don't think that's going to happen now.
I just don't see it happening.
Who do you think is going to make the biggest leap in new regs, just to go off that?
Oh, I think... Oh, in the new regs, not next year, you're saying the new regs.
Because for me, I think it's Honda.
Yeah, has to be a Jap bike, doesn't it?
Oh, I mean, Honda and Yamaha have been in that CC category before, so...
Mm.
They just...
You know, they run 800s as well, aren't
800s.
They?
Yeah. I still think Ducati's going to be ahead above, though.
Mm. Well, they're still good in the 800s
but
as well,
I think
Ducati.
I think it'll go back to Ducati and then Honda, Yamaha.
It'd just be good that any manufacturer can win any weekend. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's what ideally, that's what GP needs to go.
And track, like, specific, like, Ducati's awesome in Austria because of the front straights. And then you got, you know, Yamaha is good in Valencia because of tight corners. I love that as well.
Mm.
And I hope that comes back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the cool thing about MotoGP is there's so many different ways to make the exact same lap time.
Yeah.
That's a very
it's
cool
like
thing.
With Formula One, the only item they share on the whole car is that rear rain light. Everything else is produced themselves, and they are and it was the closest top six finish in qualifying ever.
Yeah, that's
like
that's,
how crazy yeah, is that? Yeah. They've actually reached the level of like perfection in a car. Crazy.
Le Mans like that at the moment. Le Mans 24 hour after 24 hours of racing.
Yeah, I know.
It's still so close.
It's crazy.
At Matt Stevens, Tom, Oscar Piastri is a more complete driver than Lando and will win the championship, Daniel, next year.
Yeah, it's probably a good point. I mean, if he gets another year under his belt with his car, I mean, he's unbelievable how well he's doing.
Still it's underrated with the commentators,
yeah,
the media.
God, yeah. 100%. He's racing a year and a half. You know, that's crazy.
Do you reckon it's because they're so used to Danny Rick's big flamboyant, you know, personality? Yeah. I think, most Aussies should sort of be like that.
I think it's they're always going to follow the Pommies.
He's a bit quirky.
First. They're always going to favour the Pommies.
That as well.
You should see Will Buxton came out, who's an English commentator for Formula One. He like come out and like just said it was ridiculous that they let Lando pass, let Lando not win the race. It was so one sided thing.
Yeah,
it's not like that usually in world media, yeah. But that's a really interesting video, actually.
Protect their own.
Yeah, they always do. Yeah.
Don't like it.
Good call, though.
Yep.
At DSilver87S, Miller's 15th today will be better than any of his Pramac Yamaha results next year if he's on that motorcycle.
Oh, he's going to do better than 15th. My goodness, surely.
I don't know, man.
I really Yamaha. Don't know. Quartararo's struggling to get points.
We'll see. Is he even going to have that seat? Who knows?
I don't know.
That's right.
He doesn't look confident at all when they talk to him about it.
In all honesty, we
love Jack, but why would you sign Jack when you've got all this young talent coming through? Like, why wouldn't you sign a Garcia?
We've had this combo.
Developmental.
Yeah, I'd still rather. I think it would be, I've said it, Garcia and Miller, that's the team.
Yeah, but you've got a thing for Miguel.
Yeah, why
you've
do you
got
hate,
it out for Miguel.
Why do you hate Stepsis? I don't get it.
Because I'm jealous.
Carry on.
We had this exact same conversation fucking last week, 2 weeks ago. At @ha_Melbourne. McLaren needs to pick a lead driver and back him. Not going to beat Max otherwise with papaya rules.
I agree.
Yeah, we talked about that. What's the next big rivalry in MotoGP /F1? F1 needs Norris and Max to have a few ding-dongs.
Lawrence and Mac, Norris. No, I think Norris and Piastri is the next big feud that's brewing at the moment. And the other one in MotoGP is Marquez and Bagnaia. That is brewing to the max.
I don't know, man, about Marquez Bagnaia.
It just depends what happens next year.
Murray, did you see the?
They don't like each other.
Did you see the cool room? And they had the subtitles, and I was re-watching it with the subtitles.
Yeah.
Like Marquez was giving it to Bagnaia.
Of course he's going to defend his brother, but...
Yeah, that's right.
I know, but publicly in that scene, it was interesting.
I don't think it's going to be as good as what some of these other rivalries with these junior guys coming up are going to be. I think once Alonso gets there and Acosta, that'll ruffle some feathers. Someone like Garcia comes up, gets onto a good bike. Aldeguer starts to hit his straps. You'll start to see some, not aliens, but that group of 4 or 5. And there'll be some good battles in between that.
It's pretty spicy, though, because you've got the whole Rossi VR46 riders on the Ducati.
Yeah.
He's come out and said doesn't understand the decision, understandable as well. A lot of people don't. But like if, you know, Marquez starts winning or he... You know, typical Marquez thing, punts him off.
See you later.
Davide Tardozzi's fucking hands will be going everywhere.
You know what? I think it's really good for Ducati that Marquez won that race as well because it puts a bit of pressure off them.
They would have been sweating.
Yeah.
Because if Martin came out and dominated that race and Bags didn't finish, like, they would have been like, why the fuck have we... Well, they're probably thinking
I still
that,
think if, like we touched on earlier, this GP24 realistically should take out the rest of the year. They're going to turn around and go, yeah, we've messed up. Between Martin and Bastianini, they're definitely going to win a few more races.
Yeah. I mean, from all reports, there's people in the paddock saying that they reckon Marc Marquez is going to win every race next year.
But people said that this year when he was coming onto the Ducati. So that means jack shit, really.
Nah, it's not going to happen.
Like, I'm not saying that because it's Marc Marquez, but every man and their dog said that this year.
No, it's all good. You're happy with everyone these days. You know, you don't hate anyone. Even Dixon, you got a bit of friendliness with.
No, I still don't like him. But
he's put the olive branch out. He's all right now.
No way. You know what he can do with the olive branch?
What, you stick it up your ass?
Polish it up, turn it sideways and stick it there.
Up the sphincter.
You know what I mean?
What? What? At CMAC993, guys should do a live show and or a meet and greet at the islands.
Well, Oz GP,
Put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah. Pressure's on you now.
Fans, message OzGP for us and get
please,
it going.
Please. No, yeah. OzGP have been fantastic. We'd love to do some more stuff with them at the
they
island.
They have been really good.
And we've got to pump up this sport because we know how good it is.
Yeah. Yep. And we're good at pumping things up.
Yeah, we are. And pumping the island up. We love the island.
We love the island. Ben can go be second place.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I was going to say that's something nasty, yeah, but.
No. Well, we might clip this and send it to OzGP, so we've got to be polite.
Yeah, nice. at Nikki D 3604.
That's a familiar name.
Yeah, he sends a lot of good ones in. We need another kick incident. The top three are too friendly with each other.
In what, GP or F1?
Yeah.
Oh, GP. Another kick incident.
No, can't kick in Formula 1.
No,
classes.
Okay, sorry.
How can you kick on a GP bike?
I thought you were talking about
Nikki D, get real.
I thought you were talking about the Formula 1 team, Sauber Formula 1 team. Sorry, I got a big start. I think so. Things are brewing.
I think it's coming, to be honest.
The cafetiere is starting to bubble. I'm telling you that right now.
Three cuppa.
Last one from the same fella.
Oh, that's a bit harsh for the others. Missed out.
Yeah, he's bloody good, man. He's bloody good.
Credit where credit's due.
KTM will be more competitive next year than Aprilia. They have more rider depth.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, they've got more rider depth, but I don't think they'll be more competitive.
Oh, Aprilia have to come out and have a good bike next year, signing Martin. They have to. They can't not. Like, they have to have a good bike.
Especially if he doesn't win the championship.
Yeah.
Like, he'll be on a mission.
Mm.
And he takes that number one plate to Aprilia.
Oh, my God. How good would that be?
Yep.
I think Aprilia is going to have a better bike.
Yeah, me too. Well, especially with the $2 million bloody deficit that KTM have got. That's got to affect things.
It has to.
Yeah. What do you come to the guy, I need $2 million to develop a new...
$2 billion.
I know, but I need $2 million to develop the new carbon fiber swing arm that they've been apparently trying to put on a bike for 10 years. No, we can't afford it. Fucking stick with your fucking aluminium frame. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be like that. It's put in simple terms, it will be like that.
They're going to have to get rid of the seamless gearbox. They're going to have to use a clutch again.
kickstart.
Yeah, yeah.
And not even hydraulic clutch, cable clutch.
Barry Suzuki.
Hey, come on, bro.
We love Suzuki.
Don't diss the Suzuki, man. Kickstart Kenny.
Yeah. OG, bro.
Far out. What an ep, boys. That was epic.
Yeah, I know.
How long are we going for, Curdy?
Kitty's fallen asleep, so it's a long, long.
It's around about an hour and 29.
Okay, perfect.
That went pretty quick.
Pretty stock standard.
Yeah.
So we've got MotoGP this weekend.
Yep, San Marino.
No F1.
Azerbaijan the week after.
ASBK this weekend as well.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be down there. Come say good day if anyone's down.
Yeah, legit.
And we should be doing another special guest pod this weekend, which we'll release next week. If it all comes to fruition, I can't promise anything. Yep. And then our Patreon's going to be out next week as well. Make Honda great again. Okay.
All
right.
Thanks, boys. That was awesome.
See you, fellas.
Peace. Bye.